morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. My name's Ross, as Pastor Mark said. Thanks for joining us online, whether you're in the building or online. Welcome. Today we get to continue in our vision series, and just to preface, I'm not feeling the best today. I like to be transparent, and so I don't know what's going on. Maybe some allergies or some nausea's been hitting me. I made it through the first service in a timely fashion, but like any preacher, I could go 5 minutes or an hour and 5 minutes, so just bear with me, okay? But if you find yourself in a place today not feeling well too, I want to just pray for you and myself before we get started, if you don't mind, for God's strength. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for your strength today, not only for myself or even friends who have joined us today, our family of faith here, that maybe they walked in not feeling so well, feeling under the weather. God, I pray that your healing hand would touch each of us and heal our body. God, that we ask that you would take away any of the sickness, and Lord, help us in strength today, God, as we desire to seek you together. So we love you and pray even for the word we'll walk through today, God, that it would be honoring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As a reminder, just we have a members meeting after today, or a congregational meeting. Anyone's invited, but members are the only ones who vote, and we're voting on our budget for the next year after church today. So we'd love for you members to be there for sure, or anyone who'd like to learn and grow along with us and see a little behind the scenes after service today. We'd love to see you there. Last week, we shared our vision, raising up disciples who surrender their lives to Jesus. We are in a new season, and we talked through that last week, and we started with this illustration of a road trip. And if you recall, if you were here, we talked about how it's really important that on a road trip, we set the destination for where we want to go. We talked about some of you crazy people, okay, who aimlessly wander around, all right? You're not so crazy. You're probably just a little more adventurous than me, all right? But oftentimes when we go on road trips, we set that destination. It's important that we do so. And we answered a question when it comes to raising up disciples. We answered that important question. What is a disciple? We talked through the reality that a disciple is a fully surrendered follower of Jesus. And we even went to Jesus' words himself in Matthew 28 and saw these characteristics. As a disciple is a person who worships Jesus, obeys Jesus, and reaches others for Jesus. And so in our pursuit of the destination that we believe God's given us as a church, we're reaching to raise up disciples who are just that, and all the more that Scripture leads and guides us in. And so as we grow in that, as not only followers of him within this room, but as we grow to reach others for him across the tri-state, my prayer is that we would grow to be fully devoted followers. We would raise up disciples to be the same. And together on the journey, we would move forward. But what's so unique about, and I wanted to go about this week specifically, is we get to get into a bit of the how. I wanted to tag on to that illustration, though, of a road trip and help you and kind of see where we're going to head today. You know, like a road trip, you set the destination. That's an important piece. Then there's a really important step afterward that you begin to pull out your maps and plan the route in which you're going to take to get there. And today is going to be kind of that. We're going to look at our mission, kind of the how we get there. It's called Connect, Grow, Serve. You've heard it before. We've been practicing this for a while now. But today, in effort, we're going to kind of come a bit higher level, look at a lens a bit high up. It'll be a little bit brief throughout each. Earlier this year, we talked through one per week. We went really deep into each one. If you want to look back and watch that, earlier this year we did that. But today is to help us frame out and see the connection of how this route gets us to raising up disciples who surrender their lives to Jesus. And so like that road trip, it's important to pick that route. And today we get to see that and do that together, or take part in that together. So as I said, it's Connect, Grow, Serve. And this morning's going to look a little different. So let's start. If you got note sheets, write some notes, maybe on your phone, maybe somewhere else. I'm going to go through each one in brief, like I said, but I have some notes that'll be on the screen for you too to take as we go. So the first one's this: connect with God and Christ. As you've heard in years past, you know, that's been our commitment, that we want to help people connect with God and Christ. See, this is critical to our vision, because to be a disciple, you need to be connected to Christ. You need to know him. You need to be following him. Remember, we defined a disciple as someone who is fully devoted and following Jesus. So in order to actually know God and acknowledge him in your life, you need to accept Jesus. You need to take that step of connecting with God and Christ. But that raises the question, what has Christ done to allow us to connect with God in the first place? Well, if we look at Ephesians 2, 13 through 18, we see this passage lead us and direct us in that I want to highlight to you today. It says in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Verse 17 says, "He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Here's three things I want us to see in this passage that helps us frame out what it means to connect with God in Christ. First is that Christ has brought us peace. See in verse 13, right in the beginning, we see, "For he himself is our peace." He's the one who brought us near, both far and near, to himself, because by the blood of Jesus, we're brought near to God. We are able to connect with God only in Christ. And so we see him begin to shape out in Ephesians this reality that now we receive this forgiveness and restoration, this righteousness in Christ through Jesus and solely in him. It's by Jesus that we're brought peace between us and God. It's only in Christ and his blood and body shed on the cross for us that we're able to know God and connect with him. And so we see Jesus is the central piece to connecting with God. The second is this: Christ has brought us unity. Contextually in this passage, we're seeing this moment where the Jews and Gentiles specifically in this time were in hostile division. See, the Jews knew the God of Israel, the Gentiles didn't, but yet Gentiles were coming to saving faith in Christ, seeing and knowing Christ, and Jews were too. So they're like, how can we figure this out? You know, you don't know God, so like off with you. You know, they were beginning to fight and quarrel over this. And yet the reality in Ephesians, what we're being reminded of is that Christ, no, he's come to brought unity to both sides. He's come to take down a dividing wall. He's come to offer peace before God to anyone who would repent and believe in him as the one true Son of God, who would believe that his life, death, and resurrection on the cross for our sin in our place would be an atonement that's worthy for us, that we can take on, that we can actually be righteous in him. Because Christ has brought us great unity in him. And we see that in our local church, in each other, and even the global church and in our tri-state area, that those who surrender their life to Jesus, we're part of this new adopted family. We've been chosen by him to be faithful followers of him and to pursue him with all our life. This commonality, if you think of it, in different areas of life, it is noticeable to us. We think of where we work or the fun we have. Maybe you play pickleball. I don't, but I know a few of you do. Maybe you play tennis or basketball, whatever you might do, right? You have that commonality of a sport. I thought recently in my middle school years of dodgeball. See, dodgeball has this reality that when you play, you have this commonality being on a team. I was always picked last, okay? But it doesn't matter, all right? Those days are gone. And funny enough, joke's on them. I became a professional dodgeball player when I became a youth pastor. So joke's on them. They didn't know what they didn't know. And I make sure to tell them that. But anyways, see, in dodgeball, what happens, whether you're picked first or last, you then come to be on a team of commonality. You're on a team. And so your desire together is to go win. So regardless if I'm the last person picked, if I'm the last person on the court, potentially in a game losing or winning situation, my team is only cheering me on. Ross, please catch a ball. Ross, please dodge. Ross, please do something. You know, it's just like the whole thing. We share this common unity in a sport or something like that. So this unity unity in general is familiar to us. But yet when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, oftentimes we might choose divisive matters that don't rise to the unity we have in the Lordship of Jesus, similar to our political differences. If we begin to let our political differences cause division within our church and our body of believers, that we haven't let his Lordship be supreme in our life. We need to first let his Lordship be supreme and see that the political differences have a second layer, have a third layer, have a last layer compared to the unity we have in Jesus. Economic differences, no matter how much you make, no matter where you work, if you're in Christ and your brother and sister is the same, you have unity in him first and foremost. It's not a place where you have to arrive in economic status to follow him, or even in language differences. and speaking a different language, Spanish, English, whichever, if we find unity in Christ, surrendering to him, he's given us all the unity as we're adopted by his grace into his family. Last is this, Christ has restored our relationship with God. See in verse 17 and 18, this is the good news of the gospel, my friends. Because without Christ, there's nothing we can do to restore the broken relationship we have due to our sin, due to our rebellion against God. It is only in Jesus Christ that we may know God our Father and actually be adopted into his family. See, Christ in verse 17, 18, he's preaching this peace to those who are near and far, that through him we can have access to God our Father by one common Holy Spirit that dwells within each of us who call on his name and are saved. See, Christ has restored our relationship, our broken one, which we can't restore ourselves. And when we think of connecting with God in Christ, at Hope Church, we desire for people to connect with God, to know him, to find saving relationship with Jesus, to actually be changed by his grace, be restored in relationship once and for all. By their faith may they be saved, but by his grace and mercies anew every day may they go and grow. And so my question for you is, have you turned your life to Jesus? Have you said yes to him? Have you repented of your sin and believed in Jesus, the Son of God, who's died on the cross for you? Have you accepted that truth in your life? Maybe today you feel that tugging and you're uncertain if you have. You look back and you don't remember a moment where you fully surrendered everything, and today you can do so. He's calling you, he's drawing you, and may you take the step to trust in him. Second is this, grow with others in Christ. We think of vital signs in our life that show life. So for example, whenever we had our kids, you know, a vital sign they're looking for is a baby crying or tears. Or we think of, even now in our own life, we think of vital signs that we have in our life that our pulse is at the right level, or maybe we go get our blood work done. But even more recently, actually it's coming up on renewal now, not so long ago, we did CPR training as a staff here at Hope Church. And it's important we do that to help people if they are, you know, find themselves with a heart attack or cardiac arrest, whichever. And so we want to be sure we're CPR certified. And so through that process, there's a big section that begins to walk you through what are vital signs of life that you see in someone or that you don't see in order to provide the help that they're that's needed. And so we're you know, normal to seeing vital signs in life in each other, in ourselves. And when it comes to growing with others in Christ, it's this natural response to our relationship with Jesus that shows this vital sign of life that we have with him. It's not works-based, performance-based, like, oh, we must do these specific things, but there's this natural response when we know Jesus that we go and grow with others in knowing him. Because the reality is, it's not only a decision we make, but it's natural. We're designed to grow together. We weren't made to be hermits and to hide and to do life on our own. God has provided us the church and its and all its people, all those in unity, as we were reminded, to grow together. But what are those vital signs? You know, if we look in Acts 2, the early church, after Jesus ascends, the Holy Spirit comes and God begins to build his church. We see this moment in Acts 2, this testimony of these vital signs we see that we'll speak over briefly today in Acts 2. Verse 42 says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and at many wonders and signs they performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What might be some of these vital signs we see in this passage? Well, the first one is full devotion. We see immediately in the beginning, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the preaching of the word, to one another in fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Breaking of bread is the moment known as communion, which we take part in once a month together as a church family. And everyone, you know, they're filled with awe by these wonderful works that God was doing through them. They were full of devotion, not only towards God, but with one another in fellowship. Second thing we see is radical generosity. In verse 45, they sold their possessions to give to anyone who had need. And so we see in growing together, they not only had devotion to one another, but also radical generosity to give to anyone who had that need. So for example, we see here, they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone. They recognized a new purpose for the things that God had given them and used them on purpose for his glory. What a wonderful, wonderful step we can take. That probably in our church, in our community, globally, we can be faithful in all the more. Giving and just giving where God leads. Giving and serving where God calls. Each year we take time to pray and project financially what we need to take a step in a vision like this or in a new season like this. Each and every September comes a new fiscal year for our church. And this year we're discerning a $1.6 million need to push forward the vision and continue in ministry this year. Doesn't look too far off, pretty much the same as last year. But as we faithfully ask God and look to raise up disciples, we all have a part in radical generosity. People who are desiring to grow together and be generous in doing so. Be faithful people who give to God, to give to him as he has given to us. Man, that is a bright light through that door. Anyone see that? That was awesome. It's like, wow. That was awesome. It was like sun shining off a windshield. Did you see that? It was like blinding me. I thought, yeah, no. Listen, some weird stuff's been happening. You guys remember that balloon that popped? That's weird. I don't even know what happened. That was odd. People were saying I did it. I didn't stage it at all. It just like literally the lights get up here warm. So I'm thinking it's the lights that popped it. But second service, you all are fun. You're just like blinding me by lights, you know, popping balloons, whatever. Anyways. The third thing is this, when it comes to those vital signs of growth in life, is they were constantly together. We see in this passage, they not only were radically generous, fully devoted, but they were constantly together. We see these moments, they were in temple courts, breaking bread in their homes. And so here we see this moment where we see some frequency. How often? Constantly, daily, the scriptures say. And not only that, we begin to see some variance. They weren't only in large group gathering, but in small group gathering. You know, unless their home was massive, maybe it could have been. But you see, in both instances, we see that they were constantly together seeking God as people desiring to grow with one another. The last is this, they had daily evangelism, praising God, enjoying favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number every day. You see, daily evangelism is certainly seen here, and I'm sure they were professing Christ throughout their work, but also specifically as this testimony we see here, is that they had lives that were attractive to the gospel of Jesus. They showed that they were saved by the way they served and loved one another, by the way they committed to growing together. And when it comes to raising up disciples, it's essential that we desire the same, to grow together in Christ. That's how God designed us. And as we approach that, we see that in life groups and other opportunities. As you open your app, and I hope you do so, and look for groups that you can join. There's groups that are for, couples-based groups, you know, if you're looking for that. There's groups for just men, groups for just women. There's groups you can join to grow with others in any step of life. And I would encourage you to take a step in joining a group. Where are you at in that? Have you considered joining a group to grow with others in Christ? Maybe you're in a place to lead a group. And so maybe you need to heed that call to take a step to actually provide a group that others may grow in Christ alongside you. But what step have you taken to grow with others? And lastly, is serve on mission to reach many for Jesus. I think, you know, of our life in Christ, as we grow in him, it produces a life of service. It actually serving God with our life, because God calls us to serve with our time, talent, and our treasure, with everything. And you think of it, it's like we take this step as faithful followers of Jesus, not only in professing him as Lord and Savior, but actually turning over the keys of our life, the ways of our life, in humble, honoring service to him. And so serving on mission to reach many for Jesus is of utmost calling. We saw even last week in Matthew 28, and even today, I'm hoping you're encouraged to these few characteristics we see in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 says this, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. There's two important characteristics I want you to see here when it comes to having a heart of serving on mission for Christ. The first one is to love deeply. Verse 8 very explicitly says it. Above all, love each other deeply. See, when it comes to serving others and reaching them for Christ, it must be shown in our love. It must be shown in loving not only each other within these walls, within our church community deeply, but going out to a world who has a really skewed version of love and showing them the true love of Jesus that sets us free. And we shouldn't be surprised that it echoes here what Jesus has said in Matthew 22:39 of the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. So we must love by serving and going. I was recalling, like, if you think of the relationships you have, the friendships, maybe you're married, the relationships you have, oftentimes someone doesn't come up and say, hey, I've been listening to everything you've said over the last year, and I can tell by all your words you love this person. You know, that'd be a little creepy, to be honest. I'd be questioning what's going on here. You plant a bug in my house. You tap my phone line. That's kind of weird. Some things I tell my wife, I only want her to know, okay? But oftentimes someone might come up to you or someone might see you and say, hey, by the way you've lived your life, by the actions I've seen, I can see that you love. Why? Because you're serving that person. You're going out of your way for that person, maybe your spouse or a good friend. He said, I can tell that your friendship has deep, sincere love because of the way you live your life and serve one another. That's powerful. That's how we're called to serve in our day in and day out life with Christ. We're called to serve in a way that comes from deep love for each other and for our neighbor, for our community and our tri-state area. It comes out of a love that only God can give us, that when we experience his great love, we're so caught up that we only want to share it. We only want to share it with others. That leads us to the second thing I want you to see is serving faithfully. In verse 10, it's as if Peter is building this reality of out of this deep love we have towards one another comes this reality of serving, that each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. You see, he attaches stewardship to it. That the reality is we've each been given gifts that God wants to use for his glory. So would you be a good steward of that gift? And I love that the various forms, see, when it comes to the gifts we have and talents we have, they can look completely different than anyone maybe you've ever seen. But it's a gift that God's given you to serve in his church. Oftentimes we get caught up and think of, gifts of maybe teaching like a Sunday school class or elsewhere, or leading a life group. And then we look at our gift and I'm just a handyman. That's not as important. No. No, in various forms, it's just as important that you honor God and steward that gift faithfully to him. And so maybe you become a loving neighbor, that you see the, you know, something's out of place or they're doing like, they're replacing your refrigerator. And so you sneak on over and say, can I just use my hands to help you? That's kind of how what I know to do. I know a little about plumbing. Can I help you? Hey, I've got a truck. Maybe I can help you. You know, you begin to serve in a way out of your deep love for your neighbor, your friend, to use the gifts you've received to help. You know, listen, I'm bad at building things and fixing things to a degree. We need you who are gifted in that to do that, to actually serve him and be in place to actually love others deeply through using your gifts of being a good fixer-upper, being someone who can repair things, who maybe uses their hands to do so. Or I'm not gifted and others of you aren't gifted. In various forms of your gifts, use them as faithful stewards for God's glory. So when we hear serving on mission to reach many, we try to focus on these three areas. The first is serving within the local church. We believe we're called to serve one another. So within the local church, where are you serving, diving in to opportunities that exist here? Maybe through the midweek, maybe through life groups, maybe on the weekend. You know, we have a greeting team, an ushering team. We have our life group leaders, certainly, that meet throughout the week. We have Hope Kids midweek, meets on Wednesday nights, student night on Sunday nights. There's many ample opportunities to serve in each of those areas that you could use your gifts within the church and serving the local body, serving one another. We also think of serving outside these walls in the tri-state area, not only inside, but outside. being an impact on the area that surrounds us. We want to be a church that's known for serving our community. So we think just recently, back to May, that was a Cinco de Mayo. We chose instead of that Sunday to meet and gather and have a church service where we typically had a sermon and stuff. Instead, we chose to collectively come together, sing and worship our tails off, have a moment and commission through God's word, and then we went out to the community and served. We served through actions, through words, many of us. There was hundreds of stories. Over 600 of us gathered together to go do that. Hundreds of stories that were like, man, I was just picking up trash along the river. And then I encountered this person that was like, this is kind of crazy. What are you doing? And it's like, I'm just trying to love our community and love our area. And this park service needed help. You know, from that to painting and helping someone's home. Actually, we had some people talk to their neighbors who they were trying to love well and say, hey, I know someone who could use some help. Can we go help them that day? And we did. So there's wonderful steps we can take to serve our community faithfully as we go forward and make it our intentionality to do so as we think of serving on mission for Jesus. And lastly is serving the world. You've heard through our relationship with a church in Chicá, Panama, our efforts in building a partnership which allows us to go, not only send resources that share the gospel, but also go and be people who are sent to share. And we've gone through multiple trips now where we've heard teams come and go who have seen God's faithfulness and the way we're able to effectively lead alongside them in unity in Christ. It's all about him. And reach others for Jesus' name in their community. So serving the world is also in our mission and in where we want to go and how we want to get there. Because when we faithfully serve God with our lives, friends, we're imitating Jesus, the one who came not to be served, but to serve. He was a ransom for many, something we won't be. We need him. We need him. But he's the one we're following. He's the one we're imitating. Jesus Christ, in all his humility, by all his grace, in God's image, we're able to step forward in service and serving him. And this morning, I know it was a snapshot of the how we get there, but I thought it'd be important as we set this new vision destination that we see that before we go any further this Sunday. And so as we grow to connect with God in Christ, grow with others in Christ, and serve on mission for Jesus, I want to challenge you with a few questions before we close. The first one's this: have you turned your life to Jesus and effectively connected with God in Christ? Are you in a place where you say, yes, I fully surrendered my life, and where are you at in surrendering everything to him? Maybe you need to make that decision today and repent and believe in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, that he invites you in this new relationship with him today, and you can repent and believe and accept it. Maybe where are you in growing with others? Maybe you need to join a life group. Maybe you've been a hermit for a little bit, and you're unsure and unconvinced maybe, but today you begin to be convinced that we're called to do this life together. We're called to grow in unity together, grow in Christ together. And so where are you in joining a life group or another opportunity, a men's group throughout the week, a women's group throughout the week? Where are you in seeking growth together? It comes in part by joining us on Sunday morning, but there's a deeper level of being known, having accountability through a brother or sister in Christ, and unity under him as we grow in Christ together. And lastly, where is your heart on serving the Lord Jesus with your gifts and abilities? Where are you at in serving him? Maybe it's in our local community, and so you take part in community efforts. That's wonderful. Maybe you've been a part of a team that's gone, or you've given faithfully for those who go to serve the world. That's great. But where are you at in serving in the local church? Are you looking to serve each other, one another, through maybe Hope Kids or Hope Students? Maybe through another midweek event that you can serve, maybe just on the weekend of being a greeter. Maybe you're a smiley face that can open a door and hopefully not blind me and welcome someone to come to church. Be a faithful presence of Jesus right at the front door. Maybe you're more behind the scenes. You love coffee and you're pretty good at making it. There's a spot for you too. Friends, serving on missions for Jesus is the next step you can take. We all have steps we can take in Christ. And today my prayer was that as we get to this 30,000 foot view of how to get there, and we continue along the way, that we're on the way to this mission or the vision of raising up disciples of Jesus who surrender their lives, that you, my friends, will be the first ones to go. You, my friends, would have a life on display so all could see his goodness, not your own, his glory, none of yours, for all his name's sake, Jesus, for he's the center of it all, the center of where we want to go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your word. And I ask, God, that maybe anything I walk through today that just spurred a heart towards a relationship with you. God, we'll start there. Someone who needs to repent and believe as you, as Lord and Savior. So today they can pray, God, and accept you, Christ, as their Lord and Savior and be saved and connect with you for the first time. God, I pray that they would have the boldness and the strength to do that. That heart tug on their heart is you drawing them to yourself. So God, I pray that my friends would faithfully, if they need to, turn to you, God, and trust you. God, I pray for even my friends in the room who are uncertain about life groups, maybe timid and afraid, maybe have been walking through life, being a little bit just closed off. God, I just pray that you would open their eyes and their ears to hear and see, their hearts to know what it looks like to have community together, to grow with one another in you, Christ, and how you designed us to be that way. And God, I pray for each person in this room. I believe that you've given them a gift and ability, God, that you've just bestowed to them so that we may be good stewards by your grace to serve. So God, I pray for whatever opportunity may come and go, whatever season may come and go that we serve in different ways. God, I pray that we'd be a faithful church that does so. Not only your church here, but also our community there and also the world elsewhere. God, I just thank you so much for your goodness on our church, that you have us in a new season of great health and unity and excitement for all you're doing here, Jesus. It's all about you and centered on you, raising up disciples who surrender to you. God, we just love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.